This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back.
How you doing? This is Eric.
This is Everett.
And we've got a pretty good show for you guys today, I think. What do you think?
I hope it turns out pretty good.
As well as I. So let's get right into it. We'll start off by
I wanted to thank again our guest we had last week, Fred Pollard, for coming on, talking to us about Charles Manson.
Excellent
the family.
Guest.
Oh, man, we had some real good feedback.
Excellent guest.
People really enjoyed the show. They really enjoyed Fred on the show. Really found him knowledgeable, which I guess was a different thing for them.
It must have been refreshing, huh?
Yeah, real refreshing. Yeah, somebody with half a brain on and... So that was pretty cool. I had a good time last week. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Next thing's next. I got some more.
Yeah, Everett's got a little.
I got some more shit from a listener about my Pizzagate performance.
Well, yeah, you know how we love to read the hate mail here on Surreal Talk. We read none of the good mail and all the bad. So it's that being said, Everett, let's hear what he said.
Okay, it's a long one, but here we go. He says, this is for the one that calls himself a skeptic.
That's you.
Do I call myself a skeptic?
Yeah. If not represented, maybe probably definitely call
I don't yourself. Know if I call myself that. Anyway, I've been noticing for time now that you have no real conception of what skepticism entails. Burn.
Right.
But you dropped the ball big time in the Pizzagate episode. Your co-host gave you a number of arguments explaining why the conspiracy theory should not be dismissed lightly. We'll agree to disagree there. He did not claim that the conspiracy is true. His point was to explain why it ought to be looked into. That's fair. I mean, I was kind of a dick. And
agreed.
He did it on a factual, he based it on factual data, which were the emails.
True.
True, but your interpretation of them was anything but can be considered factual.
Okay. Now you're just projecting it again.
I don't want to get into it again, but you were drawing conclusions. A lot of people.
And keep reading because the guy makes great sense.
And as such, he made a pretty good case. But all you did was complain about how outrageous the idea was. You stated disbelief that such a conspiracy could not reach such high levels in government without being detected, and other crap like that. Yeah, well, he's right. I did say that.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? That does not constitute a valid objection. You did not provide any solid arguments of what would be the case or why that would be the case. You did not even state reasons why it would be improbable. So basically, all you ended up doing was saying that you refused to believe it just because...
Oh, yeah. And see, I like this guy.
That's not true, though.
I like this guy.
I did plenty of research in the week before. Man, these cameras are really in between us right now.
Uh-huh.
This is bad. I did plenty of research in the week before. I guess I just got ahead of myself. It is my fault. I should have not come in here at the end of the show. I was basically already at the end of the show.
You were at the end of the show when we started.
Right. Which was my bad.
So keep reading, though, because this guy really rips you a new asshole. So
yeah,
we're
about halfway through. In formal logic, if the objections to a claim are more ludicrous or unjustified than the claim itself, then the objections are mute.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's what you were doing the whole episode. One big mute point.
I like it.
I don't think it was a mute point. I think my point was you shouldn't, you know.
It was about delivery. It's all about delivery.
I guess so. It's not delivery, though. It was DiGiorno.
Oh.
The funny thing is that skepticism should be based on logic, but your dismissals are based on a logical fallacy. Technically, it's called the argument from personal incredulity fallacy, which is defined as asserting because one finds a claim difficult or to understand or believe, then the claim can't be true.
Yeah, you had a touch of cognitive dissonance for sure.
You don't even know what that means.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you testing me?
I'm testing you.
Okay, so cognitive dissonance is whenever your core beliefs are so sound in something that whenever presented with new evidence, you cannot accept that. And you'll make all the excuses in the world.
That's close enough, but I don't think that's true. I don't think I'm suffering from anything like that. I find the evidence presented to be...
Long story short, this guy
We're not done. So if you're going to represent the skeptic side of the equation, at least don't make your skepticism look less serious than the claims themselves. So he made me... He's claiming that I come off like the crazy.
Yeah.
I disagree. So you fan the fire, say I like this guy, give him some fuel, which I don't dislike the guy. I tried to explain to him, though, it's just how I felt that day. I'm glad he took the time to admonish me. I probably deserved it.
Yes, you did.
And he goes on to say he likes the show and blah, 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 blah. You know, he gushes over his kind, and I hate talking about
it. The thing about a good, nice, long comment and response like that is that the guy took the time out enough to tell us where we were wrong. He obviously is a multi-episode listener.
I wish I could get
show.
That in real life when people have trouble with me. They just come up, hey, listen, asshole.
Yyeah, and he did it very – he did it – You know,
made clear points.
Yeah, I mean, nice.
I didn't agree with most of them, but
well, you know, you don't have to.
At least he's not like, yeah, well, I didn't like the color of your shirt, so you suck.
So yeah, Everett not only got shit from the Pizzagate episode from me, and but everyone that listened to
I'll probably get some messages for a while.
He texted me last night. He's like, so maybe we should do a Pizzagate redux. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I think our listeners deserve it, but at this point, it's probably redundant.
Well, next time we do it. And here I come being a dick again. You need to come at me a little bit more better. Granted, I was a dick.
I got to come at you better.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, listen to this.
The story you painted even still
listen
was
not. Listen to this guy.
Anyway.
All
dreams.
Right. Dreams.
So what do you know about dreams? What are dreams?
They happen when you sleep.
At the base level, that's one thing about them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know anything about dreams. Assume I don't know. What do you know about dreams?
Dreams are a byproduct of what's called REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically your unconscious mind processing like brain waves, and it's hard to explain.
Different frequencies.
That's the great thing about dreams. They're really hard to explain. Yeah, they're in different frequencies. Your upper cortex feels these waves and then tries to fill in the story. It's like random thoughts it picks up, and then it tries to complete the picture. Your brain does.
Right. I've always thought that dreams were a way for your subconscious mind to deal with problems that you're having in real life. If you have issues with,
that's what the science says.
Not feeling like you're good enough or something, you have a dream that would directly correlate to something like that.
Well, that's one part of it. They say a lot of it is like practice for situations that you think you might. You'll never get in a situation as bad as your dream presents.
Right.
But it prepares you.
Oh, okay.
That's one thing. That's why most of your dreams are driven mostly by fear and anxieties. It's because those dreams are the things you need, or those feelings are the things you need to prepare for.
That makes sense. Yeah, makes sense to me. So where do you want to start this dreaming episode out? Obviously, we had to cover that what exactly was a dream, but...
I don't think we've actually completely covered what
No,
dream,
I mean, because I still don't understand. I mean, it's like a projection in your head?
Well, no, it's like I said before, it's your brain filling in the pieces to incomplete thoughts, so to speak.
Hmm.
From your memories being processed throughout the day, things you've thought of that day, recent things that are still kind of latent.
I wish my dreams were more like movies, you know, like they had like a plot to them.
Yours don't? Mine do
No,
sometimes.
Mine are weird, man. Just flat out weird. Weird dreams. Like,
I'm kind of scared to ask.
Make not a whole lot of sense. No, I'm not going to tell you because it's not appropriate.
Give me an example of some of your dreams. What's one you can remember? What's a zinger?
Okay, so there's this like bad chemical at my work that we work around, and I remember, and this is more like a nightmare. So like I had this dream that I fell into a big container of this chemical, and the guys that I work with, instead of trying to help me out of it, were laughing at me, and I was panicking and freaking out, and like I was pissed off, and like so I woke up, I'm sweating, I'm mad, I'm angry. And I realized that, you know, that was just a dream that they weren't really, like, laughing at me being dissolved in this chemical.
Were you mad at them when you got
I was pissed. Yeah, I told them when I got there. I was like, you guys suck. Like, what? I'm like, I had this dream.
That's something interesting, too. You can come out of a dream and have experienced something so profound and so real.
Yeah.
That you have strong emotions, even knowing that
it definitely can affect your
mood. And,
yeah, your state of mind when you wake up, you know. I mean, so it's definitely crazy.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We want to talk about some types of dreams we weren't going to talk about today. Daydreaming, for instance, doesn't count in my opinion.
No, because you're technically conscious during a daydream, right?
Yeah, it's not the same part of your brain. It's more like conscious what ifs. You know, you're trying to logic your way in, and oh, this might happen. But of course, if you look at like, for instance, Clark Griswold, who looks out the window to see his pool. That might be as good as a regular dream. That guy takes it to the limit.
Yeah, while driving, even at that, you know, with the one with the girl driving
with
past.
Christy Brinkley?
Uh-huh.
So we're not going to talk about the I have a dream type of dream. The dream that is more or less a goal.
Or a want. Yeah, yeah. Well, and I pretty much assume everyone knows that we're not going to be talking about that type of stuff. So.
Well, you know, we got to get rid of the homonyms. Are these kind of homonyms? No, I don't think so.
No, synonyms.
No, it's neither. Look, we're not English acronyms. Professors. Okay.
I can go all day. No.
So, dreaming, is it evolutionary or is it an accident, in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't really know of any good examples that would make it evolutionary, other than the fact of what you just said. It could help you prepare for your. But then again, how would that trait bring itself through the evolutionary process?
It's not a voluntary thing. It's if I'm to understand how it works, it's just picking up brain waves that are just kind of like going off inside your brain. That's like a side effect.
Right. I've also heard that dreaming is a way for you to organize all the thoughts that you've had during the day. It's a way to
use that way, but I don't think it was something that evolved that way that an animal lived better and was able to reproduce better because of dreams.
Because of dreams? Yeah, so I'm not buying that. Maybe by accident, maybe a byproduct of consciousness is dreaming, but I don't know about it being like an evolutionary trait.
Sure, sure. I agree with that totally.
What?
What you just said.
What did I just say?
It's like a byproduct of consciousness.
Right. I mean, it makes sense to me.
Sure. What else we got here? The states of dreaming. This is something you had me write down here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's five different states of dreaming. So one and two would be like your light sleep, your basic light sleep. So four and five is heavy sleep.
What do you mean? You're losing me here. So your light sleep is how you dream? What do you mean?
No, that's not what I mean at all. So like... when you sleep, I don't think it was five states of dreams. I think it was five states of sleep that in the last two,
okay.
That's how
so
you
I wrote it down wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's five states of dreaming. It's stages. The, what's that?
Stages, he said.
Yeah, there Armand. You go. So
Armand, you want to get on the mic? We'll kick you on if you want.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's here. We might as well guest him in.
Let's.
You want an expert foot doctor's opinion?
Sure. Of course, yeah. Can't hurt.
Let me kick on your mic and stuff.
The Freudian aspects.
Yeah, Armand was with us on the climate change episode. He did a great job. We had a lot of positive feedback, and he's sitting in on the studio today. So we might as well have him in. He's got good.
I
got
to pause it for a second. Right?
You got to pause.
And
there you go.
And I think as you sleep, you go through these stages. You go lighter to deeper, and
right.
I think they're about. I believe there are three to four every night of these cycles.
Right.
Because you go through these full cycles. And I guess...
the last one being like REM, rapid
eye movement. Yeah, REM is the one where you... I believe that's the one you dream in.
Yeah, that's like the closest to when you wake up.
Yeah, yeah, of the most vivid dreaming. So...
Yeah. What?
Most of my dreams involve Jennifer Aniston and a set of handcuffs.
Frank Reynolds says he once thought he ate a giant marshmallow and he woke up and his pillow was gone.
Ah,
oh, always a kid, never the kidder.
Something Freudian about that.
If you give us just a second, Everett's
on
setting
camera
up.
Too?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I don't know if I don't
yeah,
have to.
Yeah, come on. We got to have you on camera. You're on the show.
any women out there, any single women, please. let's get off this dream nonsense and get down to.
He's like, if you'd like to get a date, you'd like to have good dreams, come to the house. I'll give you nice dreams.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, states of dreaming, states of sleep. So there's five different levels of five different stages of dreams
of sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, light sleep.
Yeah, that was to be like the first and second.
Almost consciousness.
Pre-REM sleep.
It gets yes, five being REM, it gets progressively, deeper sleep to the end.
Sure, sure.
But I thought we were going to talk about more like lucid dreaming. Like, we'll get right into lucid dreaming.
Sure. How much do you know about lucid dreaming? Because I don't know how to bring it about. I know you got to practice. It helps to have a dream journal.
Yeah, it's something that, and from what I hear, once you experience it you're just a better person.
We're getting
ahead
of ourselves. What is lucid dreaming?
That's like being able to be conscious during
your
dream.
You know you're dreaming,
Yeah.
And when you're having a lucid dream, you basically are a superhero. You can completely
affect
yourself.
You can do whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah, freedom, complete freedom.
But it's a very small percentage of dreams, right? Unless you can practice this.
I've never had a lucid dream of you
guys.
Well,
I have.
I never
have. Very rarely.
There's actually a guy, a Dutchman named Tim Post. He has a website, www.snoozon.com, SNOOZON. And he's the creator of this website. And it actually teaches you how to lucid dream. So there's ways that there's steps that you can do in order to get yourself to lucid dream.
Start learning how to It's more or less create your own ticks, like touch your fingers to count how many fingers you have.
That's not the first one. That's reality checks. That's next. So the first one would be, the first step to this, and according to this guy, would be remembering your dreams in the first step. So by that, be doing like have a diary. So every morning when you wake up, you start writing your dreams down. And the more you remember them, the more that it helps you know that you're dreaming. One of the next ones was reality checks. And if you keep asking yourself if you're awake or asleep all throughout your day, eventually you'll do that in your dream,
so
and you'll come to
over.
The answer. Yes, the habit will carry
so
over.
Then why don't you smoke in your sleep or in your dreams if you're a smoker? Maybe you do, I guess.
I don't have all the answers.
Oh, I got you.
Hey, Everett, why don't you smoke in your dreams if you...
I don't smoke cigarettes. So I don't have that habit.
I just figured you had all the answers, so...
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, what is this guy? Who's this authority you're citing here? Is he
Tim Post, a neurologist
or something?
You
or
know, honestly, I don't know, but he just created this website, snoozeon.com, and and there's actually has a lot of credibility to it, 'cause a lot of people have... commented on there and say, hey, it's helped out great.
To be fair, and I don't want to make him sound like he's a huckster, but he does international conferences on dreaming where he gets up on stage and gives the big, you know, you can control your dreams, that kind of thing.
Oh, he does like the, the one guy? He does the David Icke type seminars.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm not saying he's crazy, but most of those guys, in my opinion, are hucksters.
Yeah, but so lucid dreaming, to you, it feels very real. It's almost is real to you, but you know that you're dreaming. So
right.
Yeah, and what I had wrote down was, it's you become conscious and aware of the fact that you are dreaming while you're dreaming. So that, you know, it's actually right. That you know that
I
you're
so
in a dream.
I wish I could do that.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Why would you bother being
people
awake?
Say it's a freeing experience.
Yeah,
those
are really
very
cool.
Very cool.
Do I got to take like a bunch of LSD or something to do it? Because I am willing.
I don't know. But you know, when I first thought about lucid dreaming, that's kind of what I thought about. Like it's like a cartoony, cloudy experience. But obviously, that doesn't have anything to do with it. But once you,
I mean, if you could control
remember
your dreams,
years
you could turn into a cartoon, right?
Fair enough. I remember years ago thinking about hearing that term lucid dreaming and thinking that has to be associated with some sort of drug side effect.
Lucid sounds too much like LSD.
Right. It has to, some way connected, which it's not, but, that's where
How
I was
do you
at.
Know?
You're right. I don't know.
Well, the opposite would be opaque dreaming then, wouldn't it? If something's lucent.
No, it's not lucent, it's lucid.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the same
LSD,
derivation. Yes,
yeah.
It's Latin.
I don't know.
But, I think it would be very cool either way to experience lucid dreaming.
I wish I could do it every night. I wouldn't bother getting up.
You know, when I have these, I mean, if you do some writing, when I do it, I know I'm dreaming. It's like, I know it's a dream, but this would be a really good movie. So I try to plot it out as I'm doing it too. So it's really odd.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
And that
is
happens every once in a while.
Is it usually just another gangster and monster movie?
Yeah. You know, Edward G. Robinson's in it. And,
that's a joke.
I imagine people,
the office. We
a
do a lot
swag.
Of writing the scripts and stuff. And someone thing we do here at the office. We give Armand a lot of crap because a lot of his movies have a real either gangster tone, like, meh, see? Or like universal monster movie, like Wolfman style.
Or right. Amalgam thereof. Right. I'm trying to put them together.
I imagine you could get a lot of good ideas for stuff like that from dreams,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I imagine.
Several of these. Well, Frankenstein apparently was Mary Shelley had a dream.
Exactly.
Right.
There was another person I had. Robert Louis Stevenson for Dr. Jekyll and Mr.
Right,
Hyde.
Exactly. That's correct. That yeah. In fact, dream. The whole thing, he saw it all in one dream, apparently.
He dreamed the whole thing in one dream.
That's one hell of a
book.
Wow,
no shit.
Yeah.
Beethoven has been quoted, had been written that he had got a lot of his music from dreams. A lot of musicians really dream a lot about music, too.
Well, and that's something, because I hear a lot of people, they wake up in the middle of the night and they'll write a song, because their inspiration comes from when they were dreaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I tell you as a writer to have that pad just in case.
So if we're talking about the stages of sleep, in the first stage of sleep, I guess I was acting kind of like I didn't know a lot about it, but there's something called hypnagogia. It's one of your states of sleep. It's the experience of the transition state from wakefulness to sleep. It's a state of consciousness during the onset of sleep. It's a mental phenomenon that occurs during this a threshold of consciousness phase that include lucid dreaming, hallucinations, and sleep paralysis. It all happens in that state.
All in that stage. What's it called again? Hypnagogia?
Hypnagogia.
Hypnagogia?
Yeah. Hypnagogia. Hypnagogia.
Oh, hypnagogia. Okay.
I have a horrible Midwestern accent, so my nas or nose. So.
You'll have that.
Maybe.
Oh. Now, I think hypno, of course, is sleep, I believe, right? Or hypnosis, isn't that basic?
I
think it's got to be associated with that, because when you get hypnotized, you're technically unconscious. So there's got to be some correlation.
Well, hypnos is god of dreams, I believe. So
true.
Hypnos is god of dreams. So I guess it's dream. Gojic, a demagogue. We know what a demagogue is.
Oh, yeah.
Or a pedagogue. Pedagogue's a teacher. So,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so, hypnosis is the personification of sleep in Greek mythology.
What is GOG then? What's the Greek also. Greek. Or demagogue. So that would that will give you the...
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. I brought my phone, but...
Yeah, I'm looking it up, but when gog is such a short phrase...
Yeah, put demagogue in there and it'll give you the...
Yeah, that's where you go.
Because demagoguery, we kind of know what that is.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, another interesting...
Yeah, so you can, go ahead. Why don't you expatiate?
I was just going to say what we've got down here. I was hearing the waking world and incorporating it into your dreams. Have you ever been asleep?
Absolutely.
And like say your wife's, you know, maybe like yelling at your kid or something like that?
No, I don't have a wife, but I have... Yeah.
Same circumstances. Yeah. You know, whatever. And somehow you can hear that in your dream or the door slams, something. And,
right.
And you
it's
incorporate
in your
that
That's
into
right.
your
now,
dream.
Now, does that have a name for that?
Not that I know, but I think it's really interesting.
I've had things from music, vacuuming, alarm clocks, like if you hit the snooze button.
Yeah.
I've had that incorporated into my dreams. Like, have you ever had that? Like,
Yeah.
Also, like, that's one thing I want to talk about, too. When you hit the snooze button, I found that in between snoozes, I get, like, in a hyper dream state.
That's the best sleep you can get, I feel like, in between snoozes.
Do you?
I feel like I
dream
the deepest in between snoozes.
I dream the most. And what's cool about that is I'll wake up out of my dream state, hit my snooze button, go back to sleep. I can restart my dream at the same spot.
Really?
Oh, you've never been able to do that?
That's a talent.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Not at all.
No, I've tried.
All the time.
Not
it's
at
always,
all.
It's lost. Nope.
I have marathon dreams. Like I've woken up and told my wife about dreams where I have adventures sometimes, like aliens have attacked, and it's War of the Worlds style. But to me, that's an adventure, and I'm having a great time running from aliens, cutting down.
Really? Now, do you know it's a dream, though, or is this...
Well, when I guess I do, but not when I'm in it, because I wake up, I'm like, oh, I want to get back to that. That was fun. Snooze button, back down. I have another, what feels like 20, 30 minutes of adventure, wake up, hit the button.
That's just that's crazy.
Never brought
I can't,
dreams no, back
I honestly cannot
no,
do that.
Can't do that.
Never done
everybody
that.
Could do that.
Oh, I can't. Do
I've
that.
Did that all my life. I've been able
I've
to
tried,
come out of a dream and go back into. I've had the same dream continue night after night.
Really?
How have you guys not?
Well,
had
we'll
this?
Talk about that reoccurring dreams later, but
okay.
We're not there.
Lie recurring? Down on the couch and tell us about it.
Yeah, right.
I will not be telling Jules about my dreams.
What about sleep paralysis? Doesn't that sound fucking frightening?
Well, I know what it implies.
Yeah.
I
mean, sleep paralysis is interesting. So, you know, whenever you go into REM sleep, your brain shuts off production of serotonin, norepinephrine, what else?
Neurotransmitters.
Yeah, your neurotransmitters, the stuff that your brain uses to send the nerve impulses to your muscles to move.
Right.
So that when you're having a dream, these thoughts going on in your head don't cause your body.
Right.
To freak out and move around.
Oh, okay, sure, I get you now. So you dream that you're running, and that's you're not actually bed running.
Sleep paralysis is like the opposite of sleepwalking. So sleep paralysis is whenever you come out of your dream state, but your brain hasn't turned back on the ability to move.
Right, so you're technically conscious, but your body's not. Your mind's conscious, but your body's like unconscious.
You get varying levels of consciousness, because throughout history, people have felt like whenever they're in that sleep paralysis, that there's somebody holding them there, or there's somebody like watching them, and it scared them into paralysis. So I don't call that a full conscious state, because a full conscious state, you would know, holy crap, I'm completely awake, I can't move, not, oh my God, there's a black something over in the corner that's keeping me from moving. That's a real thing. People all over the place who have sleep paralysis. In fact, did you know that the term nightmare, you know where that comes from? In the Middle Ages, in like England and Europe and whatnot, they had the tale of from people who suffered from sleep paralysis and would have they would die from it, or you know, feel like they're dying from it. They invented a monster called a mare, which is like a witch-like creature, a fucked-up-looking creature that would come into you while you're asleep and hold you down and press on your chest and try
make it to where you can't breathe.
Yeah, try to snuff you out, basically. And it happened at night, so hence the term nightmare.
Look at that.
Now, is there anything?
Some knowledge.
I don't want to intrude on. I know you guys have a schedule, I guess, of what you want to discuss.
Yeah, we're pretty freeform this time.
Is it a mythical? I would think. And how would you know that?
Well,
if you're like land,
there's no mares still running around.
Though. No. But I'm just in general. You fall off a cliff in your dream, isn't it? Remember when didn't your mother tell you when you were a kid?
Right.
If you land, you'll be dead.
Yeah, yes. If you wake up during the fall, you're good.
Right.
Yeah.
I've landed before. Believe me,
I've never had a falling dream.
Is there any correlation to mare being a horse, or is that something in my head?
I thought that was mare, yeah.
Well, no,
I guess not. Is it pronounced mare or like mare? Well, mare is Latin for sea, so that doesn't make sense.
I'm going to be honest and say I saw it on a video about dreams, and they pronounced it mare. So
so it's some sort of
ghoul, so to speak.
I always think of a horse.
I'm surprised they haven't Dungeons and Dragons. They never had that in Dungeons and Dragons.
I think it's a newer one. They had an Ultima Online. It's been in a lot of video games, and Magic the Gathering, the card game, had a nightmare.
Yeah, which was
a flying horse with flames on its feet.
Five figures, yeah.
What's his name?
Such a good game.
From Sleepy Hollow. They'd portray him riding a nightmare.
Ichabod Crane?
Well, not Ichabod. The Headless Horseman.
Oh, the Headless Horseman.
It's portrayed these days basically riding a nightmare, you know, fiery horse type of thing.
You know, that was, wasn't that Casper's horse? Casper the Friendly Ghost?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It could be. I don't know.
Casper had a horror. It was a nightmare.
I think I watched that movie with my kid a couple years ago, Casper.
Yeah.
Did you know, though, that it's thought that guilt and sadness and confusion rather than anger and fear are what causes nightmares?
Nightmares, no.
It's not direct fear of spiders. It's the anxiety of events that gets your brain in that worried state.
Well, right, anxiety in general causes you to have, you know, this is a way for you to manifest your anxiety that you're having in real life. You know, and it's a way for you to technically kind of deal with it, I guess.
Well, and learn to deal with it.
Right,
it's like practice, like we were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm. What about night terrors, man? What do you know about that? I've never had, like, bad nightmares or anything, but from what I understand...
I've had personal experiences
with night terrors are horrible, from what I understand.
I haven't personally had it, and I called my wife before the show and asked her if I could talk about it, but she used to have nightmares, or night terrors. She hasn't had them in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, best of my knowledge. Since we had a kid, she hasn't had any. But... I used to play Halo down on the first floor of our house. I had my video game set up. She'd be upstairs sleeping. I'd play late into the night on weekends. And every now and then, she would have a night terror.
I remember this.
She would wake up, sit up, seem to be fully awake, eyes open, but would be screaming as loud as you can imagine.
Wow.
And she would usually have a story like the wall had opened up and spiders were coming out of the wall and there were spiders everywhere. But it would take forever. I'd have to shake her and wake her back up and make her realize... You're like having a nightmare or a dream, but I don't know. I would say 30, 40 times she had a night terror, just wake up, scream, and...
It's got to be, feels like, super real. It has to feel like, you know, like that's
so
reality.
That's the definition of it?
By her, yeah, that's a definition of what night terrors are.
Very vivid nightmare.
Well, not that only, they're almost always the same. They wake up, sit up straight, eyes open, and scream.
Now, they don't know they're awake at that time when they're screaming.
They kind of think they are, but they're not. You know what I mean? She thinks she's up, but she's not really, you know, really realizing she's in reality.
Huh.
Her reality is different. She's awake, but what she sees and what's going on isn't really, you know, it's like she's dreaming.
Oh.
But it's like, so how I was saying, it's sleep paralysis is like the opposite of sleepwalking. That's kind of the middle of sleepwalking. You know what I mean? Your body is now in sleepwalking. Your REM sleep is going, but your brain didn't turn off all of the neuroreceptors or the neurotransmitters.
Right, so you can still do what you're dreaming about.
Exactly. Do you remember Step Brothers?
Yes, I sure do.
It doesn't really work that way.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
Yeah, well, the thing in Step Brothers is they'd wake up and they'd have something they'd do every time.
See, it just doesn't. Couch cushions in the oven.
Or the purse in the fridge.
Yeah, purse in the fridge.
Just something like that.
Yeah. That's interesting, though. Night terrors it makes me scared just thinking about it. It's a horrible name, dude. Night terrors, you know? Like, yes. Fuck.
First few times that happened.
It seemed bad.
Yeah, imagine me. I hear some screams going on.
What the fuck is wrong here?
Somebody broken into my house? What's going on? It was
grab the butcher knife, run upstairs.
No time for that.
Oh.
I'm nowhere near the kitchen. I'm not making a run to the kitchen on the way to the upstairs stairs to find out what's going on with my wife who's screaming.
How grab often your rifle. Does this occur?
How often?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it could be once a month or, you know, there was no rhyme or reason to win. It just...
More than likely, it was whenever she had things going on in her life that she was trying to manifest that.
It was probably
through those
my fault. Yeah, I'm not trying to make it like
where
she
you were,
would say
you
that.
You were responsible, yeah.
Probably was. I'm a dickhead.
I could see where you'd induce night terrors.
Thanks, Armand.
Oh.
Thanks.
I don't expose myself to you enough for that.
Thank God.
Let's see. All right. Well,
The next one I had was astral projection.
Oh, and I
Everett kind of argued with me a little bit that this wasn't a form of...
I don't think that's dreaming.
He doesn't think it was a form of dreaming. Of course, he just likes to argue with me anyways. Anything I'm bringing, probably not
right.
Is
it classically astral projection a conscious thing? Like, you try to do it? It's not something that happens when
your mind is conscious, but your body is not conscious. It's an out-of-body experience with your body laying there unconscious.
I would argue that's just a dream where you think that's happening. But astral projection was something, you know, people would do and move to another plane on purpose. They would leave, they'd go into like a meditative state, which you could say is like your body's in a dream state, but your mind wouldn't be. But the way you say it, it makes it sound like it's an accident.
Well, Okay, well,
Maybe it is, but no,
it's something that you can do on purpose. So Robert Monroe wrote three good books on it. I don't have the names of them, but I remember there would be
fail.
Do I need them? I mean,
well, maybe we have an Audible thing. You can be like, hey, check out Robert Monroe's books on.
Some people say that astral projections are an evidence that we live forever, that the body dies and the mind doesn't. So, you know, because there's ways that, you know, you can like look beyond into the future, into the past. There's like, I got a lot of good stuff. Okay, so some of the benefits of astral projection are opportunities to explore beyond our physical senses. Now, this is where it's going to get a little fringe because some of this stuff's not really going to be proven. So you're going to hate it.
Yeah, we'll give it to
you. You're going to hate it.
That's the base of the show, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah, tell surreal this, talk. Tell this guy that. Oh,
this guy needs
don't,
to
tell this guy that.
Don't encourage him.
Okay, so another benefit would be like recalling past lives. A lot of people would say that, you know, we reincarnated into, you know.
If you believe in reincarnation.
Yeah. If you believe in that sort of thing. See what the fuck I deal with?
Anyways, well,
reason for, you could also find out like a reason for your own existence. That's another thing. So it's real heavy and spiritual and deep with these astral projections.
It's way zen. That's my problem.
Right.
You have to follow this whole certain philosophy. But anyway, sorry.
Flight. Everyone loves to fly. So, astral projection, they're saying flights. Okay, so
that's why I want to lucid dream, to be fair.
Right, just to fly. That'd be cool. So they're saying you can meet your guides. And when I say guides, I mean like the higher consciousness self of you, your guardian angel, a helper, all those types of different.
My spirit guide.
There you go. Stuff like that.
My spirit animal.
And that was just five good benefits, but there are some honorable mentions that didn't make the top five.
So there's more than just a five good things to do with that.
Yeah, but in my opinion, some of these honorable mentions are better than the top five.
Well, whose list is this?
This isn't mine.
Yeah, can you be like a succubus? Or not? I can't
incubus?
Be. I gotta be an incubus. I'd be an incubus. Mm-hmm. Now that'd be fun.
So some of the that would be cool.
Oh, man.
Some of the other other benefits would be like, you know, your overall well-being is improved. You have improvement in your overall well-being. Another
if
one
you
would be
astral
like,
project, you can get a improvement in your well-being.
Yeah. So yeah, like in
why
by in a reduction in hostility, it's supposed to have calmed you.
Yeah.
It's
so a tranquilizing effect.
You're finding out more about it's like a release. You're finding
you're
out
more harmonious.
There you go.
I can buy that.
So increased psychic ability comes from astral projections. Inner calmness was something that they said was an increased quest for answers. So, you know, when you astral project, you're obviously finding different things on different planes of existence. So you're naturally curious. You have an increased quest for answers. An increased respect for life. An increased zest for life, which I didn't kind of get that one.
I don't know, man. This sounds like lucid dreaming mixed with not so lucid dreaming.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, you call it what potato potato.
You don't know you're dreaming, but you seem to have control over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Meeting deceased loved ones. That would be cool. That's, say another benefit of astral projection because, I mean, like I said, we're all on the fringe here. This isn't scientifically proven.
Well, meeting dead loved ones, why don't I have conversations with Abe Lincoln? I guess you
do
could.
Do you astral project?
No, I guess you could, though, right?
I guess you could. Well, if he's with your loved
one. So wouldn't that make you a medium rather than I guess
no, because
would.
A medium would be a medium is something that's conscious.
Yeah,
they're doing that while they're conscious.
Someone catalyzes this, right? Isn't that
but what if that's your power? As a medium, I can only do it when I'm dreaming.
Then you're not a medium. You're astral projecting.
So where would you look in the phone book for looking at somebody who does astral projection readings?
I would use the internet.
Oh, the internet. Okay, you don't need the phone book.
So
yeah, where have you been?
Right, increased intelligence and memory recall. That's that's a plus. I mean, you know,
that's something I do too. If I lose a dream, I basically do Groundhog's Day.
Over and over and over.
But you know what the problem with that is? Is you have to have that knowledge to learn it already. You have to have that knowledge stored in your subconscious to teach it to yourself. Think about that, because you're not pulling in outside resources while you're asleep. So say like in Groundhog's Day where he learns to play the piano, he had a teacher. So what you would have had to have done is rely on like a subconscious photographic memory. So say that you've seen a book or something that tells you how to do that, or you've experienced it one way, but you can't consciously use those memories to teach yourself.
Who says? Who says you have to have had that knowledge before? This is an astral projection. This isn't, you know what I mean? This is something you're projecting yourself.
In a lucid dream, sorry. In a lucid dream.
Okay.
Which I'm arguing the same thing, but whatever.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Didn't you just say that lucid dreams and astral projections were the same thing?
That's what I'm saying.
That's fucking good. But anyways, you get like increased knowledge, increased wisdom, increased spirituality. You're able to witness other realities. Now, I don't know what all that entails. I've never seen another reality.
I got to watch that movie, Doctor Strange, when it finally comes out. It's supposed to deal with all of that.
Yeah, I just watched it. I just saw it.
Is it good? I would love to see. I've had interest in seeing it for ever since I saw the trailer.
It's supposed to be all reality bending and whatnot. Not really dreams, but like multiple realities.
Has its moments.
Yeah.
So you get a good understanding of life after death. And something else that was right along with that, but just a little below. So like they say that good people create good afterlives for themselves and that bad people. And you know, like
how's
rainbow.
How's that got to do with dreaming?
What do you mean? Well, because when you're understanding life after death, when you know, depending on the type of person you are, which you're going to be getting that understanding from the astral projection, you know, it makes you change yourself. So
it's like how people describe an LSD trip. You come to a greater plane of consciousness. You understand existence.
Exactly. So good people create a good afterlife for themselves. You know, rainbows, happiness, shit like that. Obviously.
Well, now, is there any downside or okay?
Bad people make bad afterlives. You know, out of their anger, their hostility,
fair.
And that's much like we talked about with a ghost, you know, like if you die and you know, extreme circumstances where you felt you were wrong, you didn't finish the task, there's something missing, anger, hate, hostility, that can come back as a ghost or, you know, a spirit. But so that's just another thing with that. What do you think about
now? Apparently, they can teach this though. I do remember reading somewhere that they have lessons or books showing. You know,
I watched a little bit briefly about how to do it, but it's not as clear cut and dry as lucid dreaming, where they have like a set steps that you have to do.
Have you heard of the movies the Insidious movies?
I've heard, but never saw.
So I just remembered that was the story of these movies. The guy and his kid both had the ability. They astral projected while they slept. And whenever the father, I'm kind of giving spoiler alert here, when it was a kid, he astral projected to another plane and he brought back something, some sort of spirit or demon or something like that, and it followed him. And apparently eventually his kid has the same ability and gets stuck in the astral plane.
Ooh.
It's pretty good. Some of the most scary movies I've seen in a while was the Insidious movies.
Really?
Real good.
Well, there's more than there's a whole series.
I think there's three of them, yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Fun fact, so they said that without a doubt, always when you astral project, you see yourself when you rise up out of your body. There's like a cord, and it doesn't matter how far you go astral project into space time. There is this cord that connects you to your unconscious body.
Well, that's convenient,
like an umbilical cord. You know what I mean?
That's convenient. Yeah, so you don't get lost.
I would
you can always
just
return.
Reel yourself right back in.
Yeah,
right.
Style.
Boy, if you cut that cord,
like
though,
Minos, the labyrinth. What was the guy's name?
Minos. Theseus.
Theseus. That's right.
Yes.
Huh.
Pretty much the same thing.
What about and so it says like you go through realms, like there's different types of realms in your astral projection, like, and this has a lot to do with frequencies, like and a lot of this is going back to consciousness, like we talked about on our consciousness episode.
Mm-hmm.
But they say the lower frequencies are like your darker realms. I guess you could associate that with like hell, lower frequencies, and your mid ones are again like, you know, just normal, you know, regular shit, and your higher frequencies are going to be like your heavens, your Garden of Eden, your good safe place. Everything where you feel good and nice is like a higher frequency in an astral projection.
I'll
lower frequencies. Yeah, right. I'll have that. Yeah, thank you.
I ain't got no time for that bad stuff. You know what I mean?
You don't have time for the bad stuff.
Lower
huh?
frequencies are like marriage.
In my younger days, I probably would have wanted to explore some of that, the weird levels of, you know, if it was the real thing that I could do. Yeah, send me to the weird place. But these days, I'm going to go sit around.
Just give me sunshine and rainbows.
I'd probably just be hanging out in a girl's locker room.
God, so never give this man invisibility.
You know, aerobics class. Yeah, that's where I'd be hovering. Oh, boy.
I can only imagine where you'd hover.
So, personally, would you guys rather have the ability to lucid dream or astral project?
Astral projection, anytime.
For sure.
Well, if it's real astral projection by far, because then you can get in
great.
Anywhere. The secrets of the universe are yours.
Exactly.
No, who cares? I just want to peep on
somebody. But since
I just want to peep on somebody.
All right.
I don't care about the secrets of the universe.
He's not on any list that we know of, Woody.
Not yet.
Not yet. He's like, but I am trying.
So far, I've evaded the authorities. All right.
Not after this.
No. This is going to Australia even, right?
Oh, he's like, I like to induce dreams with a roofie.
Don't tell me. If you could astral project, come on now. You would instead. I mean, come on. Who are you?
No, I totally would.
Who are you, Wolfgang Gerda?
Take a complete advantage of it, I'm sure.
Right. There you go.
Give it to me either.
Somebody on the chat says something. It's a little off of the astral projection, but he said, my wife wakes up, has a dream that I'm cheating on her, and smacks me.
Ooh, yeah.
I've gotten that.
That's the problem with dreams.
Son of a bitch.
I've had that where April wakes up, I cheated on her or whatever, and she's just mad at me.
Hey, listen, I've used it the other way. Get a load of this. I'll make it short, but all you guys out there that have lost a girlfriend and want to get her back, this worked for me three times.
Really?
Club? I broke up with a gal and I want to get her back. I still had her number, so I called her up and I go, are you okay? And they're going, what, you know, first of all, what do you know? We fought. You cheated on me or whatever. It was always my fault, and it was.
Of course.
And he said, well, I know we broke up and things were kind of rocky, but I just had the most vivid dream that you were hurt.
That is fucking genius.
And I had to call you because you mean a lot to me. I know, you know, and well, they loved it. They loved it. They always eat that up.
Oh, that's
so that's
great.
How you get a girlfriend back.
That is great.
Never link these videos on your online profile.
That is great.
Oh, man. It works every time.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So.
Oh, man. I like that.
Oh, boy.
That's,
yeah, worked
that's
great.
Great. That is great.
Give me what you got on Dream Decoding.
Dream decoding. Well, I pretty much grouped all that in with reoccurring dreams, and I have a good 10 list here. I've made a 10 list. So, you ever have the dream that you're trapped? That you feel, you know, whether it be in a room, mm-hmm. in a mine, yeah. in a box,
sure.
you're trapped.
I've never had that dream.
Yeah, oh, I have, yeah.
So what that kind of means is like some aspect of your life is making you feel trapped or claustrophobic. You know, bad marriage, wrong career choice.
You're overwhelmed.
You feel like you can't change your life
right.
when you're trapped.
High stress and overwhelmed. That makes sense.
So, okay, so number nine would be, who's ever had the, where's the bathroom?
Wouldn't that be dreaming and falling as well?
Well, that's different, and I got another one of those.
Okay.
So where's the bathroom? Everybody's ever had the where's the bathroom dream? So it's a frustration of no privacy in life.
No, see, ooh. I disagree, ooh. Because I've had that dream where I literally had to pee. Like, I'm driving down the road, and I feel like I got to pee real bad. I'm looking for, a gas station to go
right.
pee at, and then I wake up, and I've got to pee. I've woken up, and I'm peeing. Well, that's right. I've peed the bed.
That happened to me a long
right
time,
here,
yeah.
One of my things in there is actually have to pee.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, you know, like when you get into the bathroom in this dream, it's like the bathroom's full or all the toilets are broken or when you open the stall, it showers instead of shitters when you have to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's.
Now, is this a myth too? Have you guys ever done this where you put the guy's hand in hot water while he's sleeping and makes
a smart guy tried.
Oh, did it ever work?
I've never
had that work.
Not on me.
I tried that. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was
no?
redrive. Long
okay. That's a myth
so
too, I guess.
Years ago.
25 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. That was camp stuff. Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so where's the bathroom was another popular one. Okay. So, number eight would be wet dreams. You perverts, not with those. We're talking about water, you know, like drowning, large waves, or a flood of some sort. And what that means is like you're overwhelmed in life. It's a sense of hopelessness.
So it's not like being caught in a box.
Your life is out of control.
Well, you said it was different.
What are you talking about?
Same exact thing you said for the first
being,
one.
Being
what do you
trapped,
mean? Some
being,
aspect of your life make you feel trapped or claustrophobic? Where did I say trapped or claustrophobic on this one
potato,
again?
Potato, potato, pal.
Are we doing Pizzagate again? Is that what we're doing?
All right, keep going. Yeah. I can't give opinions.
I've already been chastened once today.
Gosh, I know. So like one of the things was like if you have one big, huge wave in this dream, it means that you have a huge challenge coming into your life that you know's coming and that you really have to prepare for. Okay, so number seven, there's really not a whole lot to this one, flying. Everybody has the
I've
flying
had that
dream.
One.
Flying would be a great one.
I've never had a dream where
I have. Yeah.
And what that means is it's like you have feelings of freedom.
See,
you know, you can do the impossible. You're so confident.
Yeah, what do you dream about? You haven't dreamed you haven't dreamt any of this
stuff. He has sourpuss dreams. You know he's pissed off.
I told you I have dreams that are like I'm having an adventure, but there's never anything different with physics. You know what I mean? I'm not
right.
Flying.
So you don't defy any physical laws.
I don't have superpowers.
Wow.
Okay. Well, people that do have those flying dreams.
I think they're good. I have a good time.
No, man. I got all kinds of powers.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. No
God.
Shit.
Yeah. You kidding me?
So then number six would be like the going nowhere dream. Like you're running in slow motion. You know what I mean? Not that you're being chased because that's a different one on the list. But you're running in
Chariots
slow motion.
Chariots of Fire. Doon, doon, yeah. doon, doon, doon.
Vangelis. The Vangelis dream. Yeah.
Means like you're facing a lot of obstacles. That you're feeling that you're making no progress
right.
in your
that
life.
That makes sense. Now, are these interpreted by Freud or where did you get the, who's
no,
interpreting these?
No. These are interpreted by Eric Hicks. He's just a regular old guy, just
wait
a co-host.
Wait a minute. You didn't get these from anywhere? This is just the way you feel about them?
No, I got the 10 list from somewhere, but my interpretation.
Why don't you ever give credit for these top 10 lists you rip off from people?
Oh, is that how we're calling it now? Rip off? It's not research?
Every time I present something like that, I'm going to say from what website I got it or if I stole it from a video and then try to give, you know.
Oh, I YouTube search videos all the time. That's exactly,
But whenever you leave
like
your top 10 list, like.
No, this isn't a
peace.
Top 10 list from Listverse or anything like that.
Okay,
this, this is me.
I was gonna say, if that's what it is,
no,
you need credit.
No.
He insists on documentation.
He's
huh?
an a-hole.
My
he
God.
Is an a-hole.
Well, I don't want to
there's
steal
a bibliography provided at the end of the show.
I'm not into stealing people's work or intellectual property. I'm sorry.
Well, isn't that the old saying? You steal from one source, it's plagiarism. You steal from several, it's... research.
Research. There,
there
you go.
I don't know if that's the same, but it should be. That's awesome.
Okay, so I got another one here. Teeth falling out or missing.
Never
and now apparently
I've never
that's
had that one.
I've never had that either, but apparently that's a popular dream.
How about missing testicles? Is that on the list?
Oh no.
Boy,
that would be a bad one.
You had that dream?
No, but boy,
he's like,
missing
God.
Teeth. I mean,
thank
you know, not, I might tonight.
Where did it come from?
It's terrifying me.
Wait a minute. I just thought of this.
God.
What if I have a dream?
Yeah, that my,
where my balls
sex
are gone.
Ruptured.
They were gone.
A groin punch dream. Oh.
So when your teeth are falling out or missing in
what's
a dream,
that mean?
It's said to mean like things are falling apart in your life. You're powerless. You have low self-esteem because a lot of people associate
diabetic,
with myself
eating
included.
Too much sugar?
Before I busted my teeth out at work and got these nice caps right here, I had two very large front teeth and one of them was chipped, and that does go a lot to your self-esteem. Like I always felt real bad
like
about
it. You looked horrible. I thought
so. Okay, so
he's so handsome.
So I
now,
really,
though.
I really kind of touched with this—the teeth falling out and missing, being a self-esteem thing. And then another one back to reality, much like where you actually have to pee with the where's the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's time to see a dentist. This could be your body telling you, look, it's time to see a dentist.
Wow.
Okay, number four would be like public...
Maybe,
okay, go ahead.
Well, maybe as evolution does, maybe this provides a protective function for us.
It very well could be. Could be telling you, look, you got an infection in your mouth.
But I don't think it's evolution.
Taken care of.
I don't think it's evolution. I think it's...
Well, it may be Lamarckian evolution, which was...
I'll say this.
I have no idea what that is.
That was dispelled anyway. It doesn't. It's not true.
I've had panic attacks that were... I think a symptom of my body saying that I'm really sick, something's wrong. Whenever my spleen, I had a spleen stroke, a spleen infarction, they called it.
Wow.
An infarction?
An infarction. It's like a stroke. That's what it would
right.
Well,
right.
Yeah, it's cut off the blood supply.
That's the thing. I had a virus that caused my spleen to double in size, basically.
Yeah.
And it caused an infarction.
Now, this is his dream?
No, this happened.
This was true. Yeah, this was true.
I was trying to figure out what that signified.
No, this was 3 years ago.
This is when you first started here, wasn't it?
Yeah, shortly after I first started here.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it grew so big that the blood supply that was provided was not enough anymore, causing it to stroke.
Right.
And as I started to get sick and I couldn't tell what was going on, I knew I had a pain in my side or whatever, I started to have panic attacks that were real bad. And I've had a few other times, like going to the doctor before the doctor, like whenever something was like whenever I had my gut problems, panic attacks. Like whenever there's something going on.
Well, your body's telling you there's
something wrong.
There.
Do
right.
something.
Right.
Figure it out. And they were bad. Did you ever had a real panic attack?
I've never had one.
Now, did you have dreams about this too?
I never had them before. No dreams.
Okay,
just conscious panic attacks.
Panic attacks don't sound good.
I remember the first time before they even knew it was my spleen that was infarcting or whatever you say.
Infarcting.
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 I guess it's infarction.
Yeah.
A heart attack, myocardial infarction.
I had my first one on the way to the hospital and in the emergency room. I was hyperventilating.
So what did they do? Did they remove the ischemic parts? That's actually dead tissue once the blood supply is
cut off.
They
didn't remove anything. They gave me so many shots over the course of 3 or 4 days. I don't know why antibiotics matter either. If it's
infected, it gets gangrenous.
I went and seen him in the hospital. He was slobbering on himself. Had him all doped up on
painkillers.
Dude,
I was so... I had my room was down at like 50 degrees, and I'm still sweating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually kind of rough.
I was on my back for 3 months.
He looked rough. He really did.
I was on my back for 3 months.
Holy sh!
He looked rough.
It was horrible.
Okay, so moving right along, I've got number four would be like your public exposure or your nude out in the public. Everybody's
had that
happen
before.
No, I'm nude.
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
Okay,
yeah.
So that means that you're secretly hiding something in your life from other people and that you've got this overwhelming feeling like you're at risk of exposure or being exposed.
Yeah. I cheat on women all the time, so I got that one.
Okay,
a lot.
Yeah, so public exposure nude would be one
that
for
makes
you.
Sense.
That's like,
this
you
man's
know.
Single, folks. I don't know why.
I'm single, but
but ready to mingle.
Single, but ready to cheat with anybody out there.
Right.
Don't let him buy you a drink.
Another one would be like that you're lost. Okay, so say like you can't get into your locker, you can't find your house.
That happens to me a lot.
You can't find your car. You have the dream where you can't find your class. Or even along the same lines of you're late for your test, you're late for a train, you're late for a meeting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that one all the time.
And what that means is it's like you're frustrated about a situation in real life. Like, you know, you're really...
I've had that before, like a dream where I'm running out of gas. I'm about ready to run out of gas. I can't find a place to get gas.
Right.
Things like that. Yeah.
Have you ever actually ran out of gas on the highway before? Far away from it? I never have.
Anybody,
never have.
Oh, well.
No, I
Armand. Well, yeah,
you aristocrats. You know, of course, you know, I come from a very poor family.
Oh, we came up real rich.
Sharecroppers, right, in Georgia. Yeah.
Well, you know, about Mom used to have a dish that we had about once a week called poor man's stew. And this was just
what kind of canned goods?
Yeah,
we
what
got?
Canned goods are in there? You know, peeled potatoes and carrots, green beans, pound of hamburger.
We had plenty of times where the
lights
were
out. We ate the cans,
but we had a good childhood.
The poor we were.
I don't want to make it come off like we didn't have a good childhood, but we grew up as poor as you can come up.
Yeah, no, and it's
still
all
have a house.
And on that note, it's all what you make of it. It's not about how poor you are. It's about how good your imagination is. Because I could play with a stick and a rock and have as much fun as a guy that's
we did many times.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all about your imagination.
Anyway, dreams.
Yeah. Okay. So
we're getting tangents.
Yeah. This is. We'll have that show some other time. The poverty show.
Okay. So this was the one that you guys were talking about earlier. The falling dream.
Obviously,
you're falling. You fall off a building. You fall off a bridge.
But I do land. Do you land?
No,
I've landed.
I've never had the falling dream.
I'm looking up.
Do you do the superhero landing? Like,
no, I land on my head.
Like you meant to do it. Oh, you land on your head like
I fall off cliffs and stuff, and
head
I land
first, huh?
Yeah,
no
head
shit.
First. Wow.
Like,
and then I know it's a dream. Then it's like, why am I not dead? Then this must be a dream.
That might be lucid then, because now you're well aware of that you are dreaming.
Now, yeah, that
you should do that next time.
Jarred
that
me into a
and you fall on your head and you realize, oh, I'm dreaming. Roll with it.
Oh, I know. When you're in that lucid dream, now you had these. You want it to keep going,
right?
Yeah, you're loving it.
Why wouldn't you want it to keep going?
Yeah,
like
you
said,
do.
That's the only thing I would ever want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah.
If I can live in my own world,
But the way you do, the way you say, you can continue. If you got lucid dreaming, you could just go back to bed the next night and do. Yeah, I know.
If I could, that'd
be
awesome.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd
you can't control that. Once
there was
it's over, it's over.
Of Star Trek Voyager, where God, I'm getting geeky here. But the Borg, you guys are familiar with the Borg are?
Resistance is futile.
Right, they were basically like cyborgs. They would just take every species and put them in their collective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them actually had this place they go when they dreamed. It was like a collective dream.
Huh.
They all dreamed into the same place?
Right, it was pretty neat.
Well, that's theoretically, that's what the psychiatrists or the psychologists think movies, why we're so attracted to movies. It's like a group dream.
Well,
and that bonds us together better.
I wish having a group dream and a group lucid dream would be awesome.
That would be neat.
But that sounds like the movie Inception.
Yes, it does.
Where they hook you up to the dream machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're three or four levels down.
Is that worth watching?
Yes.
I saw the first half hour. I fell asleep.
Look,
I literally fell asleep.
Don't listen to this sourpuss.
Okay, should I give it another chance?
Give it another shot.
Okay.
That movie is a long, drawn-out movie.
Right.
It's about 2.5 hours.
Forever.
But once you get into it, man, that is an excellent movie.
I'll give it a shot.
Let me give you my opinion.
I really like it.
Watch it just so you can be like, God, I wish I hadn't watched that.
No, it's a really good movie.
Because I wasted my time.
I fell asleep in the middle of it.
And it's not as deep as everybody likes to think it is.
I'm a Leonardo DiCaprio fanboy myself.
Same here.
I really
love
like
the guy.
Him.
Love his work.
And
yeah. Well, it's just that I've got
like
some screenwriting books, and several of them, they say that's a great script. You got to emulate the script and how ingenious
Nolan
it is.
Christopher Nolan gets a lot of credit for shit that ain't that great.
Okay. Well.
Such as, other than Inception,
example the Batman movies. The second Batman movie was good. The
Dark
first
Knight.
One was okay. The third one was just shit.
I never watched the Bane one. Never had any interest
in it. Yeah, it wasn't that great.
No.
So Memento was okay.
Memento was good. Memento was that's the one where he doesn't remember anything, so he tattoos that shit on himself.
Right.
Well, they played the movie backwards too.
But the only part about that, like, didn't they spit in his drink or something and give it to him?
Plenty of
that
times.
That was kind
of
cool.
Plenty of times.
Which I'd probably do that. Yeah, I'd probably.
Oh, you sick fuck.
So what the falling dream is supposed to mean that you're out of control. You have a lack of foundation in your life and a fear of abandonment.
Okay. Did they mention anything about landing that you're?
No. I always
heard
that's
a myth.
What about the old myth that if you die in your dream, you die in real life?
Right. That too.
How's that? You know, I mean, you guys have any thoughts on that? I mean,
I don't think I recall ever doing that.
You've landed and you've.
I wasn't
but
dead.
He didn't
I was
die,
like,
but
that's
yeah,
what
right,
I said.
It wasn't a
that's
kill.
What I knew was a dream.
Crashed. What do you call that?
I didn't really.
You hit the ground like, thud, and then stand up.
Right. And
like,
then I knew it was a dream.
Shake it off, dust your shit off.
Like Bill and Ted, whenever they were falling to hell and they hit the ground and were fine.
I'd rather watch that instead of Inception then.
I love the Bill and Ted movies.
Okay.
Bill and Ted were good.
I didn't see the second one.
National Treasures. Oh, the second one was better in my opinion.
Okay, so I'll see that one then. All right.
Yeah, it was better.
I think they're both good. I don't know about
that. Yeah, I like the first one. It's pretty funny. Pretty fun.
So the last example I have of this would be the dream where you're being chased, just like everyone says, you know. The
it doesn't have sexual connotations.
Any way you want to have it, man.
I think if you ask Freud now, all these things are sex.
Well, Freud won't have his way until every person admits that they want to have sex with their mom.
correct. Yeah,
yeah, that's
penis
that's his
envy
thing.
And, yeah.
That's
oh, that's Freud. Yeah.
So what
yeah.
they're saying about being chase dreams are that you're trying to get away from something that you really need to face in your life, whether it be like a bad memory that you've put away.
So that
or,
might be an explanation for the dreams where I have like aliens are invading or something. But I always have a good time. I don't feel like I don't get manic about aliens are chasing me. I'm like, yeah, it's finally doomsday. I'm finally, you know, I'm finally my own boss and free.
He does have some issues.
Yes,
to
he does. Yes, yeah, he does. So it's running from something you need to face, whether it be a bad memory or a conflict in life, whether you're having a conflict with your wife, your husband, your significant other, your boss, something that you know is going to happen. You know that you've got an issue that you need to address, and mm-hmm. there's going to be an incoming conflict. Mm-hmm. Another reason for that could be that you're running from a feeling of love that you're not ready to admit yet, Armand.
I've never had that dream.
Oh.
No.
He doesn't believe in love.
I'm running from a priest trying to get me to marry somebody.
There you go.
That's a recurring nightmare.
And that's what I had on the reoccurring dreams.
Did we talk about precogs?
Not yet. We haven't.
Precogs. Wow. So Philip K. Dick stuff?
Well, sort of. There's a lot of people that claim they have visions of the future, precognition, when they're dreaming.
Yeah, the most famous is that guy that had a dream about the ship. He said it
the
was
Titanic.
But it was like he called it the Olympic or something like that.
There was 19 dreams dreams people were claimed.
Right, supposedly. That hit an iceberg and everything. Yeah.
Right, before the Titanic
had
happened.
Right.
Also,
really?
Abraham Lincoln was said to have spoken a few days before his actual assassination that he had a dream that he went into. Which room was it? It's just a room in the White House where the Secret Service was guarding a corpse. And when he asked the Secret Service whose corpse it was, they said it was of the president who had just been assassinated. Mm. And this was within a week he was noted to have said this before he was assassinated.
Wow, that's gnarly.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts.
Many 9/11 victims have been noted talking about they had dreams about this was going to happen before.
But don't you think that's basically just the laws of probability? Because look at all the dreams everybody's had that didn't come true, but it's like, you know.
That's fair.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
You could almost associate it with anything that's horrible happening in your life.
I think Rene Descartes could explain that way. Yeah.
You can mark it down to that. You can mark it down to people who are just fucking full of shit.
That's true.
Saying, I had dreams about it just to make themselves sound more important.
Yeah.
But again, like everything else, if there's even that 0.1% chance, you got to consider that maybe.
So if you have a dream that you won the lottery, would that...
That'd be an awesome dream.
It'd be a great dream. If you can remember the numbers, buy a ticket.
Impel you to go buy a ticket?
No. Oh, yeah. It would mean. It would mean.
I think I'd just blow it off.
See, I don't take signs like that, unfortunately.
Like I was telling him earlier, I honestly can't remember. I used to be able to remember my dreams a lot better, but... I can't remember a dream that I've had
I think
three
the,
or four
I think
years.
I think
I can't
the
remember
average person remembers like less than 10% of the dreams you have.
I'm
I don't know how
going
they document
1%.
That.
They say you lose 50% of the dream in the first 5 minutes and 90% in the first 10 minutes or something.
Really?
Okay, there you go.
That's crazy.
Well, it's because your brain couldn't handle keeping all those memories, especially as whacked out as the memories are. Your brain just gets rid of them. Says, fuck that. Don't need it. Don't need it. We'll save the parts that were practiced and make new neural pathways.
So what do you think about that being like, you know, dreams are a way for you to, divide your thoughts of things that have happened throughout your day or a way to catalog them?
The only problem I have with that, again, is
Or sleep. Maybe not so much dreams, but sleep is a way for you to organize your brain that you wouldn't normally be able to do a subconscious way
again,
to...
I could go along with that, but all animals sleep. And all animals don't have such a conscious mind where they need to catalog memories. And like dogs dream. Animals dream.
Yeah, but a dog can have a memory if you kick him in the ribs three or four times. That dude knows that you're the one that did that. Now, maybe he has a dream. You've traumatized him, and then this dream is a way for him to bring that trauma out, you know?
I mean, I guess
because you just said animals have dreams.
They could very well be. I've seen my dog have dreams where she's running. Have you seen the video?
They've done studies that most of your learning occurs during dreaming. Suppose our sleeping.
See, I don't buy that.
I've always heard that you can put headphones on
your
while you're sleeping.
No, it's like in order. It's like if you take a lesson or whatever, the people that don't sleep or whatever versus people that sleep, because it's kind of like a filing system that
it
organizes.
You to write those neural pathways
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would argue you cannot learn in a dream. I'd argue that you already have it and just don't know how to access and process it.
I don't know. My cousin went to medical school, and he used to listen to his lectures while he was asleep.
While he was asleep. Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know about that.
Some people, and if it's subconsciously, is keep getting implanted in. Maybe if you just do a half-hour recording on a loop over and over and over for 8 hours asleep, I'm thinking you're going to be able to recall that. Maybe not you know, at first right away.
Yeah, but it probably makes sense you absorb some of it.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, is if you can take outside stuff and reincorporate it into your dreams, like your mom yelling or somebody slamming a door, I don't see why you couldn't put a set of headphones on.
They've been selling those for years.
Right, yeah.
You'd
be a success.
Yeah. Wow. You are very pretty.
You will learn
Spanish while you sleep. Yeah. Lose weight while you sleep.
Yeah. You will keep your big mouth shut around women and get laid.
That's interesting. That's got to affect
your dreams.
It has to.
Well, they say that like the fetus inside the womb, you know, that's why they play the Mozart and stuff, supposedly makes, I don't know who does these studies.
I saw a great meme on Facebook the other day that was like, I told her it was Mozart and it was headphones over the belly of the woman and it was an episode of Rick and Morty playing. It's like I told her it was Mozart.
I love Rick and Morty. You don't watch it yet, but you will one of these days and you'll learn the beautifulness that it is. And we have a comment on the chat that says there is a book written 16 years before the Titanic. About the Titan.
The Titan, that's right, that's correct.
The book was called Futility.
Yeah, Futility.
There you go.
So thanks, Jess, for that.
Okay,
Frank that's Reynolds correct. On the chat says that the Titanic was planned.
Well, have you guys had a show on that yet?
No.
That could be a future show.
You know what? I got a couple interesting things to say about that. The people that were opposing the Federal Reserve, do you know when the Titanic sank first
I'm
off?
One of them.
Do you know when the Titanic sank? 1912.
1912, April 15th.
That's exactly
April 14th to 15th.
So... the Federal Reserve came in
1913. Damn it!
Exactly. All the people that were opposing it were now. You know that there was like
Astor was on there. And
all the major people that were against the Federal Reserve were on the Titanic, and it was allegedly sunk
so that they could get that going.
Morehouse of Morgan. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put anything past them.
So that they could get that Federal Reserve set up and going because those were the main players. Well, these rich guys were the main players that were against the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And money is the cause of every conspiracy. Money and power.
So agreed.
It's all about security.
I'll accept that postulate.
You know? Yeah. So what do you think, Everett?
Except quantum theory. Rothschilds had nothing to do with that.
How about, here's a fact I saw, gamers tend to have more violent dreams.
Well, that makes sense. I think that makes sense to me.
Gamers are more prevalent for lucid dreaming.
That makes sense to me, too.
Because they're more used to controlling a fantasy world, like... the way you can immerse yourself looking at a TV screen and tune out the rest of the world and place yourself more or less there, they say that really helps get your brain ready to lucid dream.
I can get behind all of that. It makes complete sense. Me, as a gamer, have never experienced any of
that.
Have
you ever had a violent dream, though?
Yeah, but I can't say it would be any more violent than before I was a gamer. Of course, I don't know if you think about it. I've really always, in a sense, been a gamer.
Nintendo been a thing for a long time.
Right,
Here's another myth. I don't know if you guys, and this happened the other night. I never eat when it's late. But I was at this chick's house, and she made me dinner, so we ate right before going to bed.
Oh, Lord.
And I had some wild dreams.
Really?
That's a
myth. You know what? I've heard that before.
Yeah, when you eat before you go to bed. Yeah. That's an old joke, you know?
I've heard that before.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I never eat after 8. At 10:30, we had a pizza, and I'll tell you, that was the weirdest dreams I had.
People eat spicy Indian food.
So
there's no correlation with you, again?
You eat spicy.
There's no
Indian
physical
food.
Basis to it. So, man, I'll tell you, this guy
depends
on debating with Newton over here.
depends on the brain.
Okay. How about your stomach? Maybe it depends on that.
Maybe it does. I don't know.
Okay, why don't you have a pizza tonight before you go to bed and see if you dream any more lucidly?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, I bet you would anyway. You know, do that, Jono. That guy.
I'm with him. Me and Jono's
out every night.
What about that dream where you dream you got to take a piss and you dream you're in the bathroom peeing?
I've done that before.
Or in your pants.
Right there.
We kind of talked about that where you didn't really pee. But
I've actually peed the bed doing
that. But generally
that.
You're drunk when that happens?
No, not all the time. I've don't tell nobody this, but I pissed my pants sober before when I was asleep. Thought that, we're on the air, no big deal.
I'm telling everybody.
I think I just did.
Yeah, man.
But you know, you
that
have
wedding's
that,
very infantile.
Yeah. So you have that dream though, man, that you're standing there.
Right, that I've had.
I'm taking
you're relieving yourself.
And
you guys are young guys, and wait till you're 50s. Wait till that prostate enlarges a little bit. Ugh. You don't even have to dream it. You dribble all over yourself. Yeah.
Ah, damn it.
That's when you dream you're not pissing.
So you got that look going for you guys. Anybody out there?
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. In your declining years.
Here is something interesting. The Hmong people, or Hmong from Laos. How do you say that?
I've heard that. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's got an H-M-O.
H-M-O-N-G.
Yeah,
Hmong. Jersey Gran Torino.
Yeah.
That was the Asian people that he was friends with. Okay. Hmong people.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood was very racist in that movie, but he played a good part. I liked it. I liked Gran Torino was a good movie.
It was an okay movie.
Well, now here again. Now, I got a problem with that movie.
Oh, it's
a, can you explain to me why those? Now that was a guy's cousin, right? Why did they want that child to join their gang in the first place?
A-holes?
Yeah. Plot. That didn't make any sense to me.
Just numbers, I guess. That's what I say. Or
the
plot.
It was an okay movie. It was all set up to get him to kill himself.
I would think that you'd have a rival gang try to get him or something, but it was his own people's gang.
No, it was set up to, it was set up for Clint Eastwood's character to have to make
it. I get it. So have the rival gang try to knock him off or whatever, and then Clint can still kick ass.
Too obvious.
Oh. Too obvious.
I'm thinking as a screenwriter.
And lazy screenwriting.
Thank you.
Lazy screenwriting.
Right. Okay. So what were we talking about before that?
Oh, yeah. The Hmong people. They had a something in their culture they call Dabsom, which is a mythology about
Dabsom?
Dabsom, something like that.
I got a buddy that Dabsom.
Is that dim sum? That's Chinese food, right? Dim sum?
Dabsom. Okay. Dabsuam.
Okay.
It was a mythology about a jealous hag-like woman who would sit on their chest and stop them from breathing.
Well, I think we've all had that.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's the same thing more or less like the nightmare. It would try to constrict your breath.
Suffocate you, right?
Strangely enough, turns out that though the Hmong who had this, there's actually a genetic heart condition that they have that causes weird, strange beating and their heart can stop.
A genital heart?
Congenital.
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. Any which way. What's not really funny but strange about this is the fear of this Dabsom, it was so prevalent in their culture that the fear of it alone, sometimes when people were dreaming, would cause that genetic condition to kick in and kill them. And this is actually where they got the idea for Freddy Krueger, the whole Nightmare on Elm Street being killed by something in your dreams.
Really?
Because these people were all showing up, basically looked like they died from nothing but maybe what happened in their dream, but it turns out it was a heart condition. And,
huh.
Yeah.
So they're just attributing to that.
Yep.
Freddy Krueger, all those Nightmare on Elm Streets were just, when I was younger, just absolutely terrifying.
Really, that one was scary?
Absolutely, they all did. Absolutely terrifying. I mean, now they're good and they're funny and they got their little jokes.
Yeah, the first one
was
the first one was
campy.
Kinda,
there you go. But when I was younger, they were fucking absolutely terrifying.
See, only the first one to me when we were younger was scary. That was when Freddy was really.
Yeah, he was scary. Right.
After that, he was all like, come on, bitch, I'll cut ya.
Yeah, it was cliche, more or less, right. After that, yeah.
But they were still good. I love those movies. And they took the mythology a little weird by part six. Remember they introduced the dream demons?
Yeah.
So they chased like the parents of Elm Street or Springwood or wherever they were from had chased him down to his garage after they found out that he was a pedophile, raping children, killing children. And they started to burn the garage down around them. And then out of nowhere...
The dream demons come.
Some deus ex machina to save him out of left field and give him the opportunity. We'll give you power. We like your style.
Yeah.
You know, you kill children. Why don't you come work for us and get in people's dreams?
That is a deus ex machina, yeah. Now, how about Flatliners? I guess you guys have done...
That was on our list, actually.
Well, okay. That's a near-death experience more than a dream.
Right. It goes right along with, what was that thing, hypnagogia, okay. That I was talking about earlier. Except it's not the period right before you sleep. It's the period right before you actually die. And I would argue that they never actually died in that movie.
Oh, so give me the premise of this. What did they do?
You never watch Flatliners?
I have, but that's like an 80s movie. So we're talking
They wanted to have life after death experiences. So they would give themselves sodium pentothal themselves.
Just for a few or a minute or so.
Drop their body temperature.
Right. They're themselves. All medical students.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they kept playing the game. Who can go the longest, see what the experience they're going to have. But in that movie, they actually brought back... It was never really clear if they actually brought back something. But,
yeah, right. Supposedly.
Or was it just in their
from
mind?
From this dimension or whatever.
Right, until they righted or wrong from their past.
Right.
So it was okay.
It was good, though?
Flatliners?
It was all right, yeah.
If you haven't seen it,
I don't remember a whole lot about it. I've seen it just
All-star
been so
cast,
long ago.
They had Kevin Bacon, Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts.
Roberts was in it, yeah.
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt, huh?
One of those bald ones was in it. I don't know which one.
My wife keeps telling me if I keep watching Kevin Bacon movies, I'm going to turn into Kevin Bacon.
You mean Roger from American Dad?
No.
You know who Roger is, right? The gray alien?
Of course I know. He's the best character on the show.
He looks just like Kevin Bacon, and he looks just like Benedict Cumberbatch. You know who Benedict Cumberbatch
is? That's Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
right?
Doctor Strange?
Right. Yeah.
He looks just like Roger. Just think about it. They have the exact same face.
Okay.
Next time
you kind of missed me with that one. But...
No, next time you're watching either one of them, just like... Think
of
the
other. Stan.
Come on, Stan. We got to get down to the grocery store.
Yeah. Roger's so
funny. I do a good Roger.
I like how he's like an alien, but when he puts on a wig and a fucking shirt, nobody knows he's an alien. You totally don't know he's an alien once he puts on a wig and a shirt. It's like he ceased to be an alien. People just see him as a human.
It was funny. We were trying to look for a lot of movies that dealt with dreams, but
interesting.
A lot of movies have the dream in the title, like What Dreams May Come.
Yeah, Field really of Dreams has nothing to do with that. Yeah,
Field of Dreams was about the baseball.
Right.
That's another Mandela one there, allegedly.
If you build it, or if we will.
If you build it, he will come, or they will come.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It said both.
Yeah,
but.
Inception, again, we talked about it, but that for people that haven't seen that movie, that's a really good movie, I think, because what they do is they put themselves down in a dream. They put themselves into a dream state, and from there, there's different levels of dreams, and the deeper you go, like by the time at the end, you can't distinguish reality from a dream because you're so far down in the dreams. Like, so like they'll put you to sleep inside of a dream. You go down, you're in a dream. And then in that dream...
But time runs at 16th of the speed as regular world. And then the next level down is the 16th of that 16th.
But can you not agree with that? When you have a dream and a dream's like probably 5 minutes, it seems like 8 hours in your dream?
Right, but they took it like in Inception.
Oh, it's Inception.
You go down into somebody's dream, but then they take you into a dream within that dream.
Ooh.
And then there's a time dilation effect.
Right,
so like we all know that there's a time dilation effect in dreams.
Right.
They took it to, well, there's that same time dilation effect on the next level of dreams. The dream within a dream is the same equivalent slower of the first dream is that first dream
makes
is
sense,
of reality.
Yes.
But then that wasn't enough. Let's go deep to another
third level. Yeah. Wow.
So eventually it gets to this point where they're having a gunfight running down this hallway, but they flash to the actual real world and this bus or this van that they're all in is driven off of a bridge and it's fallen, and hours worth of stuff is going down while this bridge is coming.
While this van's falling into the river, there's in the third level, you know, this is only
or the
seconds.
Fourth level, who can keep up? It's
right.
Dumb.
Oh boy.
And it's not dumb. It's an actual good movie, and there's a lot to it. You should.
No, well, that's an like actual
the,
movie.
That's like the event horizon of a black hole. To the observer, the observer, the spaceship never enters the black hole because time has been dilated so much.
You mean the server on the ship?
No, the outside. If I'm outside the event horizon and your spaceship goes past the event horizon.
So here's my black hole.
Right.
Here's me.
Yeah. Right.
You never. Say I'm in orbit.
My spaceship goes into past the event horizon.
I'm in orbit. I hit the event horizon.
And I'm in the singularity and everything. But to you, because the light is dilated, so the Lorentz transformation.
So you'll never see this.
You'll never see. No, the ship never.
The stretching.
You'll never see
the.
That's what they say.
I disagree.
Well, talk it over with Stephen Hawking.
It is America. You are welcome to do that.
Time slows down so much. You will never
that's
see
ever
the
been
ship
sucked into a black hole. Should be visible.
Right to the observer, though.
Nothing.
Everything's different. To the observer.
I didn't think anything was visible in a black hole because not
we're
even
talking
light
about on the event horizon.
Oh, yes, okay. But once it hits the event horizon, it never it's always there. It's permanent to the observer.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
I would think it would just
at the event horizon.
From
it is, but what you see never changes.
So me looking at the black hole,
correct.
I would see
you'll see that spaceship
every
at
ship,
the event
every
horizon.
Speck of dust.
That's what he says.
I'm going to have to reread that. Which book was that? Universe in a nutshell.
Just read Event Horizon and Observation or Observer.
You fucking Google it, man.
Have a dream about it. Dream.
There
what
you
about contemplate
it? I couldn't find any good dream shows.
Shakespeare
either.
Was big into dreams. He had a lot of quotations. What dreams might come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause.
Indeed.
Thanks. That's from To Be or Not to Be, that soliloquy, yeah.
Oh.
That's why.
That is the question.
Yes. I have had most strange dream.
Frank
Reynolds
says the Lazarus Effect. I've never seen that, but he says that's a good movie about dreams, too. The Lazarus Effect.
I've heard about it. Yeah.
I've never seen it either.
What about songs with dream in the title? I mean, there's not a lot of songs about
dream
the
Dreamweaver, right?
Dream On.
Dream On. That's a good one.
Dream, the Everly Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
I Dream of Jeannie. Right now.
What was that Marilyn Manson remake he did?
Sweet Dreams are made
originally
of
the Eurythmics.
The Eurythmics, yes.
Right. Green Day, Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. We're about to run our course on that
Dream
one.
Dream On.
Well, you already got that one.
Yeah. California Dreaming.
Yeah. That's
Beach
right.
Boys.
Dream a Little Dream for You.
Is that what it's called? Dream
I don't
a Little
know.
Dream
a
of
little,
Me or something.
Dream a Little Dream.
Yeah,
yeah
who
right.
is that?
That's isn't that Mamas and Papas?
I don't know. Let's find out. Dream a Little
I've seen
the movie.
Dream of Me.
Yeah, that's more.
Doris Day, apparently.
Doris Day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. They covered it or whatever.
We talked about her
Mama
last week.
Mama Cass sang it.
We talked about her last weekend on the Manson show, right?
She's still alive. She's like 96.
Really?
Yeah, she's still alive.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, she might make 100. She's in pretty good shape.
Lucky. I'll never make that.
Well,
never.
Like 1%, less than 1%. 1/10 of a percent of men make it. Not many. But hey, listen, you got a good shot. I mean, hey, come on.
I smoke cigarettes, man.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, they'll, right.
They'll
have, it doesn't matter.
They'll have
George Burns.
They'll have new lungs.
That's all I'm going to say is George Burns.
Hey, listen, when are we going to do our anti-aging show or Endless Life? Because I've been researching a lot. Yeah.
It's on the list.
Yeah, nanotechnology and all this stuff, genetics and stuff, boy.
I think the reason we're doing this one is it was on our list originally, and a guy I work with, Rome, which is another fan of the show, he was like, dude, when are you guys going to do something about dreams and dreaming and different types of dreams? I'm like, you know what? It's on the list, and we haven't.
I want to do this show again, but I want to get a real dream expert on.
I'm right here.
Yeah, what the hell am I?
A boob.
A boob.
After having Fred on last week.
Yeah, who is this guy?
Fred, he's the guy who came and did our Manson show. Right. He's an author and he's a local newspaper.
I haven't heard that one yet. I was listening to one before that.
The Manson show is great. He's been in contact with all the Manson family. He's still in contact with a couple of the people that were involved in the killings. He
was very knowledgeable.
He's in the process of writing a book.
Yeah, I met a gal that wrote a book and actually went and saw him and interviewed him. And it's like, I read the book and it was just him just like rambling about.
Oh, now isn't Fred like the editor of the Advantage newspaper?
Yeah, well, he didn't really want to bring any of that up because he wasn't doing an Advantage appearance. He was more talking about his projects.
But right, but that's a local paper around here, so I just figured.
Sure was.
So he's got a local guy, huh?
Yeah.
You can fly him in from...
No, I used to actually work with him in another newspaper, and I knew he's into some cool, crazy stuff. So I knew he'd fit in perfect with our crowd and really brought a real knowledge.
We received positive feedback.
From now
on,
we're looking for experts. I want to have shows with experts.
Well, good luck.
It's a good thing that
we will bend them to our will, though.
Most experts that watch this show are going to be like, I'm not going on there with those two fucking weirdos. It's not going to happen. If I'm an expert, I'm not going to lower myself to these guys' standards.
I agree with you mostly. They would be like, I'm not going on there with that weirdo and his brother. Ever.
All right. Listen, well, when you guys do your podiatry show, I volunteer to...
Podiatry's a scam?
Surreal bunionectomies.
Podiatry's a scam.
Yeah. That's probably true.
I used to think that about chiropractors. Chiropractors like, oh, nobody really
knows. It's voodoo.
But you know what? I had a back injury and I went to a chiropractor. Yeah.
And he voodooed you.
And they're fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, he voodooed.
No, they are
phenomenal. Placebo effect.
They are phenomenal.
You know, I was reading up on the placebo effect, though.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing.
But here's the weird thing about it. They did a study where they actually, this doesn't make sense to me, they actually told the patient, this is a placebo, and 30% of them still got better.
Really?
Well, they told him, this is just a sugar pill you're taking.
Wow.
I thought that of course, defeats the whole purpose.
Pretty much. I mean, if you know it's placebo, it's not a placebo.
That's the whole idea. Yeah, here's your pain pill. But
people
here's
just
a sugar pill
is what it is.
That we're masquerading as a pain pill. Take it. And they still got better.
And still, yeah.
This goes
still
to show you. Anyway, maybe that has something to do with dreams. I don't know.
What about dream catchers? Those old Indian circle things?
Oh, I meant to research that.
With the feathers coming off. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard the term.
I'll show you one. Indian dream catcher.
They're Native American. But.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, they're from India. You know, dream catcher. You've never seen those?
Is that to literally catch a dream? Is that
That's the story behind it, because when you'd have bad dreams, you'd hang those on your wall, and those were to ward off bad dreams.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, makes okay.
Mm-hmm. I guess, how would that be
specific tribe? Or are they all? Okay.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, I always just heard it as like a Native American thing. Like, you know, it's just.
Wikipedia says in some Native American cultures.
That's specific enough for me.
Yeah. Right.
I'm pretty vague on my facts.
There was
too.
A movie called Dreamcatcher, of which
I
have no knowledge.
I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of that one too.
I have no knowledge.
Yeah. I guess.
You guys got anything else for dreams? Because I think we're getting to that point where we're sounding like assholes.
Yeah, I think we're starting to ramble here. We're talking about black holes.
So Matthew Day says that reports of increased lucid dreams by loading up on amino acids, some are safe as long as the dosage is controlled.
I took a lot of amino acids. Just made my piss orange.
Okay, arginine, omphthonine, phenylalanine, and...
Phenylalanine,
I mean, you need to read this.
Yeah, arginine, phenylalanine.
Arginine, ornithine, phenylalanine, ornithine.
Phenylalanine.
Yeah, there you go, phenylalanine. Mm-hmm.
The 20...
Phenylalanine?
Phenylalanine.
Right.
Boy, you guys are starting to lose it a little bit.
I'm gonna get it. Hey, why don't you tell us about your show you're doing with Tony? This would be a good time.
Because it sucks.
Because it sucks. Day in history, I've listened to it.
It's great, but it's like every day, you know? And
I can imagine it sucks to do.
And I don't just go on there. I mean, I research this stuff because I don't want to sound like a total fool.
These guys get like, I don't know, a good 20, 30 events of what happened this day in history.
Yeah, we got to cut those down.
Cut it down to about 5 or 10.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, the amount of insight you guys
give. And I always try
to
bring sex into it.
Yeah, that's a personal problem.
Yes, I know. I got to hang up.
But I do love listening. They do give interesting insight on some of these events that I've only just barely really heard of. And these guys have not, maybe not lived through some of the stuff they talk about, but have researched it or read books in some way. If they're talking about it, there's a reason. They have a knowledge of it. They're not just going like, okay, yeah, this person lived.
Right.
Okay,
well, I try to bring in the crazy. Like, I mean, no, did you see here the Tallulah Bankhead? That's not my favorite.
Missed that one.
She's this movie star, you know, and she's a really wild gal. And, you know, just interesting things about her. Like when she met Chico Marx, her father was actually Speaker of the House.
Really?
So Groucho and Chico are at this dinner, and Groucho says to Chico, listen, this gal's a real lady. She's from the South. Her father is the Speaker of the House. This gal's got class, okay? So don't be a jerk, which he, you know. So Chico goes up to her and says, you know, hi, I'm Chico Marx, and I want to fuck you.
Oh, no. Did he say that for real?
Yeah, and to which she said, and so you shall, dear boy, because she was a real slut. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, she was even, like, coarser. See, little stories like that bring us closer together to our...
Listen to this day in history.
I get what you're saying, though, because, like, even with the subjects that we pick, the topics we pick for this show, I always try to incorporate something personal.
Yeah. You know, be a little dry without...
Yeah, it makes it a little more relatable to the listener when you can incorporate things.
Otherwise, you're a newscaster spouting off facts.
You're tonight at 6 o'clock, we want to know if Washington, D.C. is fucking crooked.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, REM sleep is lucidity. That gets old very quick. So we want to hear, you know, we hear the dirt on people.
So check if you're into that sort of thing. You want a nice educational with an Armand.
Yeah, we try to inculcate an Armand and entertain.
Go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. It's another lineupmedia.fm podcast.
And we're doing Ocho Man. We got a new girl on there that I'm trying to bang.
Right. Ocho Man show. OchoMan.com.
Yeah, I'm trying to bang this new gal.
If you want to see Armand in his real element,
you want to hear me make a fool of myself trying to get laid. And
listen to Ocho Man. I used to be on that show.
I am.
They booted my ass.
They booted you? That was Ocho Man.
I don't know. I guess I was boring. I guess I'm just.
You probably like to object too many times to things that you didn't need to object to.
Yeah, he replaced me.
He needed too much scientific proof of our conjectures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't just drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. You guys
now
need a guest.
See, now that's a myth too.
I guess you guys need a guest. You just let
Did
me.
Did you know that?
Okay.
Hey. And bring a chick. Drink. You know where drinking the Kool-Aid came from?
I only know one.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim Jones?
Right, but they didn't drink Kool-Aid. They drank grape Flavor-Aid.
Oh, well.
So that's
Flavor-Aid
grape
is pretty
Flavor-Aid,
yeah. Flavor-Aid is the shit, except lemonade Flavor-Aid would kill you. That powder, if you ever pour that powder on, it starts
cough,
to get in the air.
Sneeze. Yeah.
It's like chlorine gas.
It's mustard gas. Yeah, but they drank Flavor-Aid. So there you go.
It's a good off-brand.
Yeah, I drink grape Kool-Aid all the time, Flavor-Aid, though.
For like half the price of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's cheap stuff, yeah.
16 cents a packet or something.
So you're going to kill yourself
with
it. What are you trying to kill? Yeah, what are you trying to save a few cents for? But
man, we were poor. A few cents was the difference, man.
Did you guys ever do a show on him? You're an interesting guy.
Jim Jones? We just talked about
just
that,
cults
though.
In general, I guess.
Our Manson
sure.
guy is also an expert on Jim Jones.
Oh,
his
bad.
He actually, Fred, he grew up in a cult. He didn't know he was in a cult until he was like 10 or so.
When he read a book on Manson and realized how crazy these people were.
Yeah.
He's like,
and then he was like,
holy shit.
And then he started relating all the things that like were the similar about his parents and what the shit they were doing. He's like, okay, these guys are crazy, but
we're
so are we. I'm in a cult.
Wow.
Oh, shit, I'm in a cult.
How about Scientology?
We're going to do a Scientology show.
I want to hear that show.
Did you hear what Manson was quoted saying about Scientology?
No, what did he say?
He said, Scientology's too crazy for me. And that's Charles Manson.
Boy, that's so, yeah, right.
Yeah, too crazy for him.
Hey, but you got to admit, Hubbard was a genius. You know, I think he's still in the Guinness Book of World Records for most books. He wrote like 1,285 books.
I did not know that.
I wrote all kinds
of
books.
He's a scam artist because...
Oh, yeah, he admitted it. You want to get rich, start a religion.
Scientology was part of a bet he had with two other authors. The bet was write a book with a religion in it. And try to make this religion, the first one that can make this religion actually happen as a real religion wins the bet. And he won with his Scientology.
Probably $10 or something.
For real?
Yeah. I believe it.
That's the story out there.
Don't you feel duped, Tom Cruise? Yeah.
I don't think so.
He pretty much owns it now. So.
Yeah.
Him and John Travolta.
Now, they say that psychiatry is, you know, that's their big deal. In fact, I think if you're really into Scientology, you have to give like a tithe. At 10% of everything you make fighting psychiatry.
Sounds like Christianity.
It's even, you know, I think even the Pope would say that may be a little out of line. Oh, I don't know. He believes in global warming, so.
Well, I know they got their tax-exempt status from blackmail.
Oh, that's right. I saw that special on HBO on them.
Yeah, there's a good show
going on
right now. I've had a chance to watch it, but once we get around to doing that show, I'll definitely have.
I don't know how they get the women to do this shit. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard had, like, these young girls.
Did you see Battlefield Earth?
Yeah. I love it. Can we... I'd like to get a copy of that somehow.
I'll see if I can find you a copy out there on Amazon.
Yeah, please do.
On Amazon or something. Isn't that Amazon.com?
I think that's like the Razzies. It won the worst film of the decade or something. Like, it's got the Razzies record.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was something.
I watched it again, but it was pretty bad. Have you seen it?
No.
Battlefield Earth. It's where all these aliens come to Earth to steal our gold. They basically imprisoned us for 1,000 years, and they're just basically mining all the gold off of it.
Anunnaki? I mean, is that not Planet X in a nutshell?
It does sound Anunnaki.
That's the whole Zachariah Sitchin book right there, you know.
Indeed.
I wonder who's first, because L. Ron Hubbard wrote that book, right? That was based on his book.
Sitchin was 78 or 79 when he wrote The 12th Planet. That was the year. 78 or 79, when he wrote The 12th Planet. There's how many books in there? I see you're Googling it now. Well, I'll just let Everett finish this one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to finish anything. Okay, 12th Planet came out in 1976, so... Let's find out what Battlefield
I was close.
Earth.
I was close.
Earth.
Battlefield.
Book. That came out in 1982. Son of a bitch. Sitchin beat him. Wow.
Are you familiar with the Planet X conspiracy?
No,
Nibiru?
No.
None of that, really?
Nibiru, it's like the planet that's out there. I can't believe you've never heard of this.
Right,
it's
what
another planet that exists out beyond Pluto, but it's on like a big elliptical orbit.
Right, okay.
And when
it's trans-Neptunian.
Trans-Neptunian object, yeah. TNO.
There you go.
But every now and then it comes back around through for a near-Earth orbit.
The conspiracy is that it's almost on its way back around, and it comes so close to Earth that it's going to cause a...
Global catastrophe.
Right, right. Yeah, I have read that. I didn't know that they actually had a name. I thought they called it Nemesis, or was that the other sun?
That's
the other star.
It's a brown star.
Brown dwarf.
Yes,
brown dwarf.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Nemesis, yeah.
The theory is that the Anunnaki, which is it's a race of people, came to Earth 3,600 years ago, the last time it came around.
Okay.
And they're... atmosphere was diminishing, and the reason that they needed to come to Earth was because that we had monatomic gold. It was atomized, I believe, and that was inject that into their atmosphere, fix their planet. Long story short.
I wonder if it worked last time.
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. When they come back, we'll ask them.
They're on the way, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, let's hit the outro and let's finish up.
All right. Well, for everyone, I had fun dreaming.
It was okay.
It was okay. Yeah. I can believe you're a little jaded on it. This has been Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This is the part of the show where we'd like to ask you to give back a little if you've really enjoyed the show and just have listened to. Granted, we still have not reached any of the minimum withdrawal levels for any of our affiliate programs.
Hold on. I got to stop you there. People have been using our Amazon.
Shout out to the person. What was the lady?
I don't remember her name, but thank you. She uses our Amazon. We've had a few people actually go into the Audible
asked
trial.
Us, yeah. I'm going to order stuff. How do I do it through?
That was Jessie. Yeah, Jessica. She's going to hook it up too. So thanks to anybody who's done that. Thanks to anybody who's thinking about using our Amazon associates code. Just go to our website, SerialTalkPodcast.com. On the right hand side, there's an Amazon link. Alternatively, you can just type in SerialPodcast.com/Amazon. That will direct you to Amazon in our special portal. Anything you finish it up. Anything you buy will give us money.
Yeah, no, you just did that also. And also, if you're into audiobooks, go to our website, SurrealTalkPodcast.com, and click the Audible banner to create your 30-day trial account and download your free audiobook today. And as always, remember to like and subscribe to our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube accounts. That's Facebook.com/SurrealTalk, Twitter.com/SurrealTalkShow, and YouTube.com/SurrealTalkPodcast. But the place you really want to be is...
Our group.
The group.
Surreal Talk. It's Facebook.com/groups/SurrealTalk Podcast.
Surreal Talk group.
Put me on that. I'm too stupid.
Oh, the group is cool.
I'm too stupid to do it.
The group is cool, man.
It's growing every day.
Yeah, it is. Oh, okay. I think we've got something like 312 members in the group, and it is just, it's
exactly
everything.
That.
People, there's no rhyme or reason. Anything you feel like,
right.
You can go there.
313, thank you, Armand.
Okay, right on.
So if you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at info@SurrealTalkPodcast.com or by messaging us at any of our social media pages. Yeah, if you want to tell us we're doing great, we suck, show ideas, if you want to just give Everett shit about how he is.
Yeah, you got a pretty good kick in the balls today, didn't you?
Yes,
I
did.
I get those from time to time.
Why?
They're generally, I got them coming.
Please remember to leave a review on iTunes, as that does help us out.
We've been getting shit on iTunes. You know what? Hold on. I want to read a couple of the iTunes.
Here we go. Some more bad fan mail. Also, Stitcher, Facebook, or whatever your chosen platform is.
I might have did this last week, but hold on. I'm
more logical fallacies. Propter hoc ergo. Well, how's that go?
I don't have a fucking
post hoc clue. Ergo propter hoc. That means it's a logical fallacy.
I'm sorry, I was listening.
Well, because something happens after something else, it was caused by the thing before, which is obviously, yeah. Right.
Is that true?
We're putting carbon into the air, and the atmosphere is getting hotter. Therefore, the carbon in the atmosphere is causing the global warming.
Dude, I almost got an argument the other day with somebody about climate change.
Bring him in here.
And, you know, that's all I could think was,
I got
was
my
like,
wrestling mat out. I'll take him on right here.
That's all I could think was like, you know what? I wish I had that dude on speed dial. So I'd be like, you know what? Talk to this guy.
Let's talk about the Venusian.
Talk to this guy right here.
Yep. All right. Talk about the ideal gas law. We'll get out of here. We'll end it with this. By a guy named A1255 on iTunes. He says, I like the topics, but I don't like their way of talking. Dismissive tone, wisecracking, tangential conversation, and very amateur.
Yeah, you are making light of things a little bit. I mean, these are very serious topics.
You shut up.
He told me he'd fight me on the Pizzagate episode. That's how pissed off.
I know.
Was.
You guys really got into that.
That was a joke.
I mean, that show, though. That was a good show.
Yeah. I like
when you guys get pissed off at each other.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I wasn't pissed. He was the one who was pissed.
I was not mad. No, we've actually had a lot
of people.
You were
dismissive.
Very dismissive,
right.
Yeah.
A little dismissive.
We've had a lot of people that say they actually do enjoy the dynamic that we have between each other. You know what I mean? So I mean,
we've been brothers since you were born.
Yeah,
since I was born.
At least since I was born.
I had a 2-good-year period before your life was grand.
Oh, wasn't it glorious?
It was grand.
Anyway, all right, we'll catch you all next week. Thanks for
listening.
All right,
thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Please wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.